You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
What you talking about, huh? What you talking about, huh? What you talking about? What you talking about,
huh? Okay, James, we are finally back for an episode of What You Talking About, Willis? Son, it's been, well, last one in
this
well,
February,
we last did one. The world has changed a bit since we did an episode last time, and I dare say a few of our topics will probably reflect on that. But we're going to try to look up, not necessarily down too much. So I'm finally having to say these words. What are you talking about, Willis?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I asked Chris, as I always do, if there's any subjects that he thinks would be good questions to be asked.
Okay.
So we've been in lockdown since late March, pretty much, haven't we, James?
Looking best part of 8 weeks now, aren't we?
It was 9 weeks. Just it'll be 10 weeks tomorrow as released.
10 weeks, yeah.
The question that Chris asked is, what's been the best thing about lockdown?
What's been the best thing about that? For me, probably spending more time with my kids. Whilst they're not at school. I get to interact more with them. You know, it's like an extra... I don't know how to describe it. It's better than I thought it would be, in that sense. Obviously, part of it's been horrible. We've obviously not meeting up with other, you know, the family. But I guess get to spend more time with the kids, which is always good, especially when they're both at school now.
Are they back at school already, are they, or soon?
No, they're not going back yet. We're hoping that there's talk about maybe on the 1st of June. It all depends what Boris does over the next week or so.
Because one of the questions that Chris wanted to know is, what are your thoughts, being a parent yourself, because you've got two young children, what's your thoughts about when they should go back?
Well, this is it. Mixed, really. Want to get back to reality, really, you know, contract, you know, back mixing with their peers and everything like that. But then there's also the risk side of it. Whoever sends their children back to school are basically like guinea pigs. I mean, there was a bit in the paper today, or on the internet where I saw it. There's a primary school up the road from us that had to shut this week. There's two children, and tested positive, and both shut the whole school. So, if that's happening before they've sent schools home.
It's a very delicate balancing act, unfortunately, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's got to happen at some point, and there will be trial and error, and you know, that sort of thing, you know. But no one knows what's going to happen until it does start. Yeah, it's a bit... it was a tough one.
It is a tough one. Obviously, my opinion is, as long as everyone's safe, when it's safe to go back, yeah. In my opinion. But, I mean, once we've got certain measures in place, and hopefully that will be, things will reopen a bit more, and be able to see people more, and hug people a bit more. Wow. That'd be nice. For me, though, the best thing about lockdown is, obviously, when we were limited to amount of exercise we could do outside. We could do unlimited now, of course. When I used to just walk into work in the morning, I could smell in the air. It just smelled different. It smelled like it was fresher, cleaner, which is less cars on the road, no airplanes in the air, sort of thing, or certainly very few, comparatively speaking.
We noticed a lot of airplanes go above us, because obviously it's where we live, it's quite quiet, and also you get, if the main stand is corridor.
Yeah.
You get a bit of Heathrow around here as well, but it's mainly Stanford. And you can hear, and you hear hardly any planes go over to them. You get the odd cargo plane go over at certain times each night, which is obviously expected, which comes from the continent. And there's a lot of long haul flights, mainly Heathrow to China. But all the old Stanford.
So, sure, that one's happening at the moment.
Well, yeah. We used to have all the EasyJet, Ryanair flights going over.
Yeah.
Going over to holiday destinations, of course. There's been none of them at all. But we did see an EasyJet plane in the sky the other day. I think it was just basically just... It took off from Southend and it was going back to Southend. So I think basically it was just keep the engines going. So.
Maintenance run, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I saw one actually... done that actually today. Actually, they went on a 35-mile round trip, and the trip they took spelt NHS in the sky on the tracker, which I thought was a nice touch. Which is another thing, actually, the pride we have in our NHS as a country. Obviously, for the last 9 weeks, as of recording, I know that. People have been going out onto their doorsteps and clapping and, you know, hollering, banging pots and pans. And it's been getting more and more by the week. People doing it more and more. And I, for one, am extremely proud of how the country have got behind the NHS and have done what they've been told to do and to protect the NHS. And thanks to everyone making that sacrifice and showing appreciation, things are slowly getting done. Slowly, but obviously I know that your children obviously have been very much banging some pans and things every Thursday night.
Yes, we've gone through about 3 or 4 wooden spoons. and we have a dented saucepan as well, which is our main big saucepan. It was an old one, but still, you know. Our children have been very much very active in it, you know, and especially with what we've gone through with Lenny. It's lovely to see him showing his appreciation as well.
Absolutely. I mean, Lenny actually had to go to hospital very briefly, didn't he, during this? Obviously, he had an overnight stay, and they were amazing with him, as they always are.
Oh, yeah. He was the only person in the hospital that night, and Kirsty said, you know, it was horrible, terrifying. Because normally, because we stayed in hospitals quite a lot over the
years, unfortunately,
various things and issues, and you always hear lots of beeps going off. That he's crying and etc. on children's room. Literally nothing. It was a real experience.
I can appreciate that.
The hospital, you expect a bit, you know, a bit more than that.
I've worked in one myself. So I've worked in a hospital now for the last 16 years of my life. You hear beeps, you hear all sorts of things. It's just eerie at the moment.
Especially when you want to see, like, the restaurant, literally. Is your restaurant actually open, or
we are open, but only for takeaway. You come in, something and go, which grab and go. But yeah, we're still open. We've been looking after staff, looking after patients. Obviously, we've had builders in converting void spaces into spaces ready for if things escalate. But it looks like we're not going to be needed now. So that's good.
We are, luckily, in our country, we are on this sort of like downward curve, and we are starting to make huge progress with it all.
Yeah. As noted,
Paul McCartney once said, it's a long and winding road.
It is. One thing we saw from the. Press conference on day of record, which is the Thursday the 21st. In order of that, they've apparently got a new test they can do, which they're trying at the moment, which cuts the wait time down from 48 hours to 20 minutes.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not. It's apparently it works. Literally a case of it doesn't go to a lab or nothing like that. It literally can be done there and then. Basically, think of a 20. Basically, it's in layman's terms, it's the clear blue pregnancy test of the coronavirus tests. Basically, tell you straight.
Well, yeah, it's like you can tell straight away. Certain like blood tests, you can like a finger prick sort of thing. You can test pretty much straight away. So.
And
well, that's good, but then it speeds up isolation processes and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You can't, you know, there's less chance of spreading, etc. So that's good. Brilliant.
It is brilliant on that side of things, absolutely. And not only that, but it also takes the pressure off the labs. So the labs can go back to doing what they should have been doing in the first place, which is the actual NHS work they do. Because,
well, that's it. Because you know, then, free them up to do all the other stuff as well.
Exactly, and you know, antibody tests as well, finally 100% accurate apparently, the ones they found. I'm very happy to hear they're being shipped out. Slowly but surely we're getting there, slowly but surely. It's painfully slowly, but at the moment, touch wood, everyone we care about is either fine or getting better.
I have to listen to many podcasts recently. So I've listened to a couple of yours and that's it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that this morning, by the way.
Oh, do you know what? I put it on this morning because they're in the bedroom. They're on the switch. They're just watching the iPad off while I'm coming in. I'll come in the morning. Chuck the podcast on. Oh my god, I was wetting myself. That was absolutely hilarious.
Talk of a table.
But that's pretty much it. As far as I got with it. I haven't listened to any of the other episodes of that or gone any further in that episode. So I'm only about halfway through that one.
Talk of a table it came out of a Matt Attack. And it's, I basically dropped the prediction side of stuff and just had general wrestling chat because basically we all get angry about wrestling, especially at the moment. So it's a nice time to vent your spleen. Basically, we get guests come on and shout. That's basically it. So yeah. I love it. And the format is so perfect because you don't have to do a wrestling one. You can do any kind of format for it.
Well, yeah, this is what you said to me before. It could be you know, you can mix it up.
Absolutely. Next week
or whatever. You know, it depends on, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll never forgive Mag for saying I've got a left arm like fucking Popeye. I'll never forgive him.
That's so funny.
I'm never forgiving him for that. Right. So, James, bring the topic to the table, as it were. What are you talking about, Willis?
Okay. So, I was listening to Good Cop, Bad Cop this week or week before. I've listened to a few in the last few weeks. And the subject of it being, of wrestling being pre-recorded now.
Some matches are, but they're specific ones.
Yeah. Especially when you can like script a, say for example, a pay-per-view. You know, so I haven't seen any of these. Talk me through is it good, is it bad, better, worse? Do you think they should continue it? Maybe?
What, the cinematic matches, you mean?
Yeah.
If you'd have asked me at Royal Rumble that the main event of Money in the Bank was going to feature two matches at the same time, filmed beforehand, in a cinematic environment at WWE headquarters, I'd have told you that sounds terrible. But also at Royal Rumble, we didn't know we'd be in the middle of the current climate we are in now.
No.
And after you watched WrestleMania Night One, which was headlined by Undertaker versus AJ Styles, which is a dream match in back in the day, in a Boneyard match where they actually went to...
Boneyard match. Sorry, I haven't seen it or read any reviews or anything. Like, you're going to have to...
I will. Yeah. A Boneyard match. No one knew what it was either. But what it was it was the American Badass Undertaker, so Motorbike Undertaker.
Oh.
Yeah, the one that we grew up watching.
Limp Bizkit 2001 short time.
Yeah, that persona, but he was using Metallica's a theme song from Metallica, which it fit perfectly with him, to be fair. Basically, he brawled with AJ Styles in a graveyard, basically. First person that buries someone alive wins. But, of course, bearing in mind the current climate, they didn't call it buried alive because of that. Calling it a boner match, it was brilliant, though. The reactions from it immediately after on Twitter were like, Mick Foley, for example, said, Vince, I'm begging you, book me in next year's Boneyard match. People loved it.
Yeah. So they're basically, it was like...
and it was... Because they
They
had time to film it, obviously, and polish with some special effects and everything like that. So it was able to... Part of this helped conceal the Undertaker's failings, because he is mid-50s now.
Yeah.
80 Styles in the peak of his career. But it was also perfect, because they were able to show Undertaker chokeslamming 80 Styles off the top of a building and through some wooden pallets, and then drag him over, and then basically toss him into the grave and bury him alive. Which then played into, and then Styles' next appearance pretty much was at the Money in the Bank match, which was cinematic. And they when he was going through the headquarters, opened the door, and it was a room dedicated to Undertaker, which literally opened the door, and you hear the bong go off, and Styles is freaking out because it's like flashback to the Boneyard match. It was so well done.
Mm.
After seeing the Boneyard match, WrestleMania Night 1, we knew that the next night there would be a Firefly Funhouse match. We had no idea what it was going to be. Okay? Basically, it was a retrospective of Bray Wyatt mimicking John Cena over his entire career and how he buried people. And if that had been done in a normal wrestling ring, that would never have worked.
No.
The way this worked, it was perfect. And I don't think that it was something that Vince wanted to do necessarily, but
no.
I would be very happy if a big match like that, and the Money in the Bank, for example, it was perfectly done, it was perfectly filmed, and it was brilliantly done. It didn't run too long. It was the shortest pay-per-view I have seen in a long time. Only 2 hours, 23 minutes.
Well, that's good, because you don't want it to be... You don't want it to go on forever, because people lose interest and stuff like that.
Well, this is the thing, you see. When I was at WrestleMania 35, it was 7.5 hours.
Oh, that's too long.
It was.
I mean, what other sporting event in the world goes on that long?
Nothing.
That's all.
So
the only thing that will come close to that is maybe a 5-set match in tennis, for example, which could last up to 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, what, 7.5 hours constant.
But that was part of the brilliant thing they did this year, was that they split mainly into 2 nights.
Well, there you go. And by doing this, it sort of gives them like a new... I don't know what to say. A new way of doing things, and it means they can actually tell the story better.
3.5 to 4 hours for each night, 2 main events, so that's perfect. So you've got, which, so in my opinion, they've been doing, well, I know this for a fact, they've been toying with the idea for years of doing it that way, but people didn't want to pay out for it because that's 2 sets of tickets, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But with nothing else going on this year, and no fans to actually worry about, as it were, they could show WrestleMania 1 and 2. Well, Night 1, Night 2.
Yeah.
And it worked brilliantly. And what's the key thing about the Royal Rumble, James? The winner gets the main event WrestleMania, yeah?
Yeah.
With two Royal Rumbles now, of course.
Yeah.
So one of them doesn't get a main event. In theory now, if they have two nights, WrestleMania, two main events, you can have one headline one headline the other.
Yeah, was it Saturday and Sunday, was it?
Yeah, it was really, really well received. Once we're back to something resembling normal, I can see them taking a back seat with some of the cinematic stuff. But now it's been proved to be working.
Yeah.
For certain events, I can see them doing it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have one question to ask about Money in the Bank.
Go ahead.
I didn't see it. And there was a few adverts going around social media, obviously saying, oh, get your free trial and watch Money in the Bank for nothing. Like they do whatever the event is. Which leads me to the question of, obviously, it was done at the basin to the top of the tower.
The corporate Money in the Bank ladder match. Climb the corporate ladders. The NBA.
Yeah. Did anyone get thrown off the top of the building? And was it Shane McMahon?
Okay. Second part, no.
Because you know what he's like. He jumps off of Titantron only for a pathetic elbow drop, which does minimal damage.
But King Baron Corbin did throw Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black off of the top of the building. Yes.
Rey Mysterio.
They both landed on a ledge lower down, and it, fairness, the image is, they're thrown out of sight. Basically, yeah. This is going to work for a podcast, my way. That was the level of the roof. The roof was there.
Oh, so it was minimal.
But they're thrown out of sight, out of the way sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? What happened on Night on Raw was more graphic. Rey Mysterio took part in a tag match and had his eye gouged out.
Oh.
Literally, he had his eye pushed into the corner ring steps. I couldn't watch it.
Oh.
But it was good to get heat on Seth Rollins, who has turned into this bloke who believes he is the Messiah. Quite
literally.
Really? It's a really good character. I'm loving it. It's dark as all hell. But that was sick to watch. That was sick to watch. But it's establishing his character nicely. Obviously, Mysterio is fine. Obviously. But he sold it like a champ, Rey Mysterio. To the extent they had to take his mask off.
But we've seen that before.
We very nearly saw his entire face. We haven't done that before.
No.
So, but no, it was done really, really well. Money in the Bank also gave me my favourite ever pick in that I predicted that Otis, who I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Otis, he's what they call a blue-collar hero. He's got the girl, Mandy Rose, now. He's got his peach, as he calls her. But he also didn't climb the ladder in the main event ladder match. Baron Corbin and AJ Styles are fighting over it, unhooked it together, and then dropped it, and Otis caught it. Otis is in the bank, because it's whoever has control of the briefcase first. Doesn't say who unhooked it first, it's who has control of it first. Yeah. And Otis, I said, he's going to win it. Nobody, and that includes you, Graham, nobody believed that he was going to win it. But I thought, what they need to do right now, because the fans loved him, because they did this great storyline about him going on a date with Manny Rose at Valentine's Day, and then his heart got crushed and everything. Yeah. The fans went postal. The fans love Otis. And right now, I said, strap a rocket to Otis, right to the bloody moon, because this is your money right now. He is money from WWE now, and he is not the stereotype.
Is he this year's like Kofi Kingston sort of thing?
He could be bigger than Kingston was last year. Okay. Because
obviously that's where it was the gauntlet match, weren't it?
Which the fans want him to be WWE championship. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Otis. The potential for Otis is to be bigger than Kingston was. He's currently getting the sort of fan heat that you get from Daniel Bryan. So he's huge. And
Give
hope to all of us larger guys who are all told you don't get the pretty guy or you don't get a pretty girl. I'm living proof of the fact that I've managed to find myself a great guy, like Chris. Otis, I know Otis and Mandy Rose is a scripted story, but don't take that away from the fact that that sometimes the good guy does win.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that make you, off the top of my head, James, what's your favourite ladder match moment? Because you've watched some ladder matches over the years. Right. I bet I know which one it is.
Just ladder, or
any match with ladders involved. How about that?
It has to be TLC 2.
Would it be the Edge Spear?
Yes. Off the ladder.
That was insane, and that's something that you can't repeat that spot now because it's just so iconic.
No, of course not. No, it was amazing. The whole like four tables, like all like up together.
That is my favourite moment from TLC, and I will go down. I will go and die. I will die on that hill, quite literally, because
they all broke perfectly off tonight, weren't it?
All four tables broke perfectly. It's been replicated. It's never been repeated.
No.
But that's why it's just the perfect TLC match. I don't think a single thing went wrong with that match at all.
Well, it had everything, didn't it? Really?
The first woman to not compete in one, but to be involved in a TLC match with Lita. Long before we had Charlotte, Flair, Asuka and Becky Lynch take part in a Triple Threat TLC women's match. Lita.
Okay.
Women's Evolution started there with Lita and China.
Right.
That's a good point. Who's your favourite women's wrestler of all time?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, nowadays they're actually like proper. I'm not saying they weren't in like the Divas age when we watched it. But nowadays they're actually like proper wrestlers.
Well,
they actually train more for it, don't they?
Well, that's the weird thing, James.
Rather than just a pretty face.
Back when we started watching, back in early 2001, you had Molly Holly, Chyna, Lita, Trish. You had people who, Jacqueline, you had people there who could wrestle. But then we strayed away from them and we had Alicia Fox, the Bellas, Kelly, Layla. You had one in there. You had Michelle. I know you don't know who they are, but you have iconic people like Beth Phoenix, who is Edge's wife, of course. She's a former women's champion, and she actually could wrestle. And Michelle McCool, who is Mrs. Undertaker, of course. And if you get a chance to, there's a great documentary on the WWE Network, which is The Undertaker's Hidden Story. Part 3 comes out today, if you listen to it when it comes out. It's a 5-part documentary series, and I've seen the first 2 episodes. Unfucking believable.
Really?
It's behind the scenes. It's candidly shot. You see a Taker out of character, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. The Last Ride, I believe it's called. Because
that makes sense.
It was set. They started filming at around WrestleMania 33 when we thought Taker was done. 3 years on, he's still going. So, yeah.
Money does give, doesn't it? You know, make good comeback.
It does, but you also get
the Saudi Arabian investment in it.
Unfortunately, he does seem to do quite a few, unfortunately, for that reason. Unfortunately.
What they want over there, and he's happy to do it.
Yeah.
Another payday for the kids and the grandkids and whatnot.
It's more the alimony payments with ex-wives. Right, okay, James. Let's switch to another sport that we both adore. Formula One. Obviously, the season should have started by now. It's on hiatus until currently the start of July, which isn't that long away now when you think about it. It's over a month away now. Expected to start with two back-to-back races in Austria, and then, provided there is exemption to the quarantine rules, two races back-to-back at Silverstone. That's the current plan. Obviously, plans can change depending on how things are. Also, other little bits and pieces, such as going to Hockenheim's on standby, and they weren't even on the calendar. Spain's ready to go. Depending on how far it is through the season, France could be called upon again. Monza's ready to go, but it all depends on where things are, obviously. All the great circuits that are full circuits are ready to go. Canada can go any point up until November. So, if you want to see why Canada, they can do up until November, so that's great. Baku ready to go, but that's going to be interesting because of the flights, obviously.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I think most circuits will be ready to go whenever, because in the current climate, there's nothing happening.
It's so, more the street circuit ones that could be more of an issue.
Yeah, but when we say that, that's where the money is, so they'd make room for it, wouldn't they, let's be honest.
You'd think so. Monaco have said no, and it's the first time since 1950...
Street circuits are a bit different, aren't they?
That's what I said. But 1955 was the last time the Monaco Grand Prix wasn't held.
Yeah.
And am I sad to see it not in the calendar this year, if we get up and running in this year? A little. But
yes, this, and no.
A little, but at the same time, F1's outgrown Monaco a little bit. But you can't argue it's iconic.
No, of course
it's iconic. If you've won a Monaco Grand Prix, how many people can you name off your head who've done that?
Who's won it? Not many, really.
Well, you've got Hamilton, obviously. Rosberg. You've got
Pan. Rick.
Pardon?
Danny Rick.
Danny Ricciardo, yes. Yes, she won it twice, of course. I didn't, of course.
Do you know what? I actually watched the Drive to Survive halfway through season one at the moment. And one of them on there is about Ricciardo winning the Monaco Grand Prix. And I forgot completely about 2 years before about that pit crew. Oh my god.
Redemption.
That is inexcusable.
You don't often get the chance of redemption, and especially not at Monaco.
I do. And I thought that was him. And to be fair, his car was as well. He was lucky to win that.
That car was sick. Any other track, he wouldn't have won it.
Well, look at Monaco last year as well, haven't you? Max was over that way. You know.
I do remember. Marco's always been a track which has had a certain charm. One that was recently reshown, because what Formula One's YouTube channel have done, as I was doing, is reshowing classic races in full. And Bernie didn't think it was a good idea to be showing stuff on YouTube. Go figure, right? So I'm quite happy watching the classic stuff. Someone come to mind, Nürburgring 99, that one's been reshown.
You know what? I've actually got that on my Skybox. It's the Sky Sports doing like a lot of watch-alongs recently.
It's on my to-watch list. I know what happened.
Yeah, I know what happened, but I haven't seen it yet. But obviously, it's got Johnny Herbert doing it as well, because he won that race.
Herbert. Ted Kravitz, who was actually there, he was actually the commentary box producer. So he was actually in the box with Murray Walker and Martin Brundle that day. I didn't know that.
I
learned something there. I know that because I saw that first 5 minutes and thought, I've got to pause this now because I've got to go get to work. But I haven't had to watch it since. But
I've got it on record. It'd be very fascinating to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sport's been a bit of a shame that F1 couldn't get started. But it's provided a bit of talking subject about, of course, James. Not least of which, the F1 merry-go-round has already started before this season started properly.
Yeah, I thought the announcement of Vettel was very... the timing of it. I didn't really know what to think of it.
Well, from what it's now been revealed that Vettel was not offered a new contract.
Oh, okay.
No. Binotto is...
Doesn't surprise me much, to be fair.
He was not offered a new contract, and Vettel basically had to say that he was not re-signing because he needs to find a new job or retire, pretty much. There is no seat for McFerrari this year, obviously. That's been taken by the excellent Carlos Sainz. I'm so made up for Carlos Sainz.
I think he's been the last couple of years, I think he's really shown his talent.
Absolutely. He got his mistakes at Toro Rosso and at Renault for a little bit, and then at McLaren the last couple of years. He's really put in the hours. And now he gets a shot at, so I was pulling fire, one of the greatest teams ever. And, you know, I think he'll be a great foil for Leclerc. And let's not forget, of course, whose replacement is at McLaren.
My man.
Your man, Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, love it.
He's always got a smile on his face. The thing I love the most about this is that he's moving to McLaren in 2021. The same year McLaren get the Mercedes engines back.
Yeah.
Mark my words, and I've asked Chris to remind me of this, Daniel Ricciardo will win a world championship with McLaren.
Oh, maybe.
If that McLaren has only been suffering because of lack of power, then there's no excuses, is there? And Daniel Ricciardo is just so smooth. He's just such a cool customer. And I don't think anybody would begrudge him a world championship. If he had the car, he'd already be a world champion.
I think he had the car, but I think they were concentrating too much on Max.
He was getting a lot of bad luck as well. He got a lot of engine problems, unfortunately. Yeah. Which wasn't helpful, because Max was also getting a lot of engine problems as well. But the Renault engine was not competitive. If he'd have hung around for the Honda, would it have been any good for him? We'll never know now.
Yeah, no.
We wouldn't have had a chance to see the rise of Albon either. We would have seen that.
No.
So everything's happened for a good reason. The question I have for you now, James, is with Ferrari's field, obviously, McLaren's seat is filled. Neither Hamilton nor Bottas have re-signed for 2021 yet. What will happen there? I mean, we expect Hamilton to re-sign, but curious money is saying Vettel to Mercedes alongside Hamilton. Yeah. I'm thinking they're not going to let that happen.
Do you think that Vettel may be linked because he's German?
Yes.
I think that's a big thing. Because we saw Mercedes when they first came into the sport. You know, how they had
Schumacher and Rosberg.
Two German. So partly still feels that they may want that German driver.
He's younger than we'll forget as well, of course.
And remember when Schumacher obviously came back and he helped. I think Schumacher put so much influence into where Mercedes are now. Perhaps they may want that experience from Vettel as he looks to retire.
I think Vettel would like it, because then he could quote unquote have a fair fight against Lewis.
Yep.
But I don't think that anyone who goes to Mercedes is going to go there as equal number one to Lewis Hamilton. I also have heard that there is something in the pipeline for George Russell in 2021, because he's obviously he's a Williams driver, but he's a Mercedes boy. He's part of the deal.
He's sort of on loan, isn't he, sort of thing?
Effectively, yeah.
Could be interesting.
I'm very intrigued by it, definitely. But thinking then, who takes the Renault seat? Does Alonso apparently wants to come back to F1 again?
Maybe.
For a third crack at Renault, he'd be 38, which isn't the oldest F1 driver, of course, of all time.
No.
But at the same time, is he going to lose a step? Is he going to be able to compete? I'd like to say he would, but I don't know. Given the amount of amazing drivers there are in F2, I should say nowadays, of course, and F3 below that, of course, there's some great youngsters. Who would you like to see get an F1 chance, if at all?
To be fair, I don't know much about the F2 scene. I know that obviously Schumacher's probably got links to a seat at some point in the future.
That'd be a Ferrari or a Ferrari-powered team. So if that's the case, you'd probably imagine Sauber kicking on the bed right, or Alfa Romeo kicking one of their drivers out, and that probably be Kimi Raikkonen, because Kimi would be like, I could retire now anyway. So, and then they could.
Well, to be fair, the fact that he came back, I was surprised he came back.
I wasn't surprised he came back. I'm surprised he met a Ferrari. Ferrari have been known to play some weird moves before. Let's not forget they basically had Raikkonen sit at home for 2 years, so they could hire Alonso.
Yeah. That was well, didn't it?
Ferrari, we're going through a tough time, unfortunately. In fairness, if it hadn't been for Vitaly Petrov, Alonso would have won the championship that day in 2010. So.
That was it.
Right, James, that's another episode done. We need to wrap things up so people can get on with their lives. If you want to find James, he's changed his Twitter.
Yep, my handle has changed. Yep.
So if you can remember it this time, let's find out what it is.
Well, basically, I was looking at it and I was like, do you know what? I'm 33, not 13. Let's grow up a bit. So you can find me at JamesWillis86.
Simple, straightforward, to the point. Is that where you can find your TikTok as well?
I think it's that. Yeah, should be. It's on my Twitter anyway, so it's fine.
Excellent. You can obviously find me at AboutTatUK. And find this show at Willis Boys Talk. That's with a Z, not an S, because we aren't American. As always, James, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We both hope you all stay safe out there. Hopefully we'll see you all soon. I can sit my own catchphrase, thank God.
Yeah, you
can. We're out of here.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.